Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. We're broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them for their contribution. Thanks to Evan Thomas. He gets us up and running and twitching in the morning, and we appreciate it and motivate it. And thanks to everyone. A lot of good calls and texts and emails.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this 2-3-23.
Happy Michael Jordan Day. That is fantastic. Our thanks to the great Dustin William Rhodes. All right, I got the Eagles will beat the Niners. A couple of teams that didn't win divisions I picked. So I got the Chiefs beating the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So I did it.
Nine.
It was September 8th, I think.
Keep it going.
Yeah, it's too much. It's getting too
much. No!
Thank you, Brandon Fryer, for your contribution. Go Ramblers. That is the Rambler fight song. Thank you.
Go Blurs now.
Apparently.
I don't know what that is.
I don't abbreviate, but Go Ramblers.
But you will hear that tomorrow when they honor you with a tremendous award. Congratulations.
All right, Mully.
Thank you very much.
That will be proud moment
They're
for the show,
me
proud
a
moment for your
award
family.
Because I picked the Super Bowl on September 8th. Yeah. That has to be it. There's no other reason. It's great.
So what's the award?
It's just
like an alumni.
It's just a thing. It's a good thing, and I'm very moved by it. And
is Sister Jean going to be there?
Sister Jean will be there.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll get a chance to see Sister.
She's going to wrap you on the knuckles. Get the ruler out.
You know what's funny? I think
with head with a yardstick.
She has a book coming out with, I think, Seth Davis, her life story. I was talking to someone. She's 103 years old. Apparently, she still can remember the names of every classmate from, like, sixth grade on. I mean,
that's like, remarkable.
Her mind is phenomenal, right? I think she's in a wheelchair, and she's got some difficulty. But at 103, her mind is sharp.
And what Mully's receiving is the Father Finnegan SJ Award in recognition of outstanding humanitarianism and service to youth through athletics.
That is fantastic.
Wow. All right. I mean,
wow.
Just saying.
Thank you to everyone.
Closing the loop there.
I know, but it's just embarrassing.
Congratulations. You shouldn't be embarrassed.
Mully,
you should be
Mully
proud.
Is being celebrated for being old is what it amounts to.
That's not what that award says.
No.
It says something completely different.
Nice. I said old there. Nice. I don't think I said that.
So we have in this room two guys that cover Jordan every day. David, did you cover Jordan?
No, I covered Jordan from afar. I was not in Chicago during the 90s, no.
But Mully covered the first championship.
I covered the second three.
And you covered the second. Yeah. All right, so Dan, what's your favorite Jordan thing? Whatever you want. It could be a play. It could be a conversation with him.
God.
It could be him punching Steve Kerr in the face. Whatever you want.
My favorite Jordan thing.
Were you not prepared for this on Jordan
Day? I wasn't.
You know what
I think it was? I think it was his, in general, in retrospect, I think it was the respectful, if adversarial, everyday relationship he had with the media. His consistency of availability and his appreciation for a good, straight question and just the fact that he never let his international mega stardom get in the way of that connection to fans and the public through the media.
Mully, my question for you is a little different because you covered the first three-peat.
Yeah.
What was the moment when you knew he was the guy?
Oh, he was already the guy. He was already the guy when I started covering that team. I mean, the thing about Jordan, and no one even remotely understands it, he would have these, like, if you had a bunch of guards in camp, Michael, before like a preseason game, would line them up and he'd play one-on-one with these guys. Like, he would just defeat anybody. He wanted to take on all comers, and he never wanted to just win. He wanted to, like, dominate. And you know, imagine playing one-on-one with Michael Jordan. He dominated, and he would do weird things. I remember him, he would get down in like a squat, and then he would like jump up and dunk. And people would be like, well, that's not a big thing. And he'd be like, you try it. And then guys would have a hard time getting up. You know what I mean? Like, it was hard to stand up when you're in like a squat. Like, you're like a catcher. And then you just power up and dunk. You know, the other thing is, who was the guy from Carolina, the Williams tank? Who was he in the first go round? He had this weird thing he did where
Scott Williams, where he
would stand at the basket and he'd throw his shoulders back rather than his arse back. And I remember Michael like asking him, why are you doing that with your shoulders? And because I can still turn and jump better. And all of a sudden Michael started doing that. Like there was nothing that he wouldn't try to improve on while he was playing. And it could be the most obscure player that had nothing to do, you know. And
he would take a piece from
anywhere. He would add to his game in any way possible. He was always like a student of it, paying attention. The competitiveness and the way that he picked things apart were incredible.
Terry used to tell stories about being there upon the arrival. And just when, because he covered the pre-Jordan Bulls.
Yeah.
And he tells a story about being at the first practice at Angel Guardian. You know what you're saying about lining people up and defeating them and ruining them. Terry said he was there to do a story about Orlando Woolridge. And about after the year that he had, I think he made the All-Star team the previous year, and that this was going to be sort of the big year for Orlando. And practice finishes at Angel Guardian. They let the media in. And Terry says, hey, Orlando. So, and he talks to me. He says, so this is really, finally, for the first time in a while, this is there's no question, this is your team. And Orlando stops him and goes, hey, it's not my team.
Yeah, it's that guy.
It's on my team. And he goes, what do you mean? And he points at Michael and he goes, talk to him. And Orlando's a proud dude.
Yeah. Who was the first coach? Who was there?
Allbeck?
Yeah. Was it?
No, it was Kevin Lockery. Lockery.
So Kevin Lockery, I remember talking to him one time, and he's still around, you know, and he's still
Kevin Lockery is
still watching the NBA. You hear him every once in a while.
give me a beer.
he said that when Jordan showed up, the thing that he couldn't believe is his ball handling. That, like, they knew he was a scorer, they knew he could play, but they didn't know he could take the ball off the board and go to the other end and dunk.
That's bad scouting.
But I'm saying that, like, they didn't know how good his ball handling was. They didn't know that he could go to any spot on the court. I mean, that was what separated Michael from everyone. He could literally score from anywhere in the court.
The funniest thing I remember when you talk about all these little things, we did a big section when Jordan went into the Hall of Fame. So one of the things was his Olympic experience in 84, and Bobby Knight was the coach.
Yeah.
And so Bobby Knight called me back, which is a story in itself, right? To talk about Jordan, because he wanted to talk about Jordan. He told a story about before the gold medal game.
Yeah.
Knight had the defensive assignments and reminders and all the things. Then on the other side, he had the offensive things on the board and everything. He came in and everybody was looking down except for Jordan was looking up because he had this kind of a grin on his face. I remember Knight telling this story in the way that he could. And then there was this piece of paper on the board between the instructions that he had written out like Knight did. And the piece of paper was on a yellow piece of paper, and he said, Coach, don't worry. We've put up with too much to lose now. And it was Jordan's writing.
That was the only guy
in that locker room, according to Knight, that had the gumption to do that and could get away with it. And he knew. And that was kind of like, you know, Bobby Knight deferring to Michael Jordan, which tells you a lot about both guys.
Pretty cool. I got to tell you, that documentary on Unbeaten in 76 or whatever, you know what I'm talking about? It's on
the
HBO.
Doug Collins?
No, that's on the IU basketball team.
The Scott May, Kent, Benson.
Yeah, the IU team.
Quinn Buckner, like, Bobby Wilkerson, like Tom Abernathy.
Yeah.
Those were the top five.
Larry Bird would have been on that team.
Yeah, he would have.
You know?
He couldn't stand Knight.
Larry Bird was apparently super shy, and he was walking out of the building one day, and he was having problems anyway, but he said hello to Knight and just walked past him, and he basically just got on a bus and went home to French Lick. But he was the best player not on that team. Like, he ended up being, like, they didn't even need
without a doubt.
Bird. You know what I mean? They went undefeated without the best player.
When he was on campus, those players that won the championship were already there. And you're right. He was the best player. Imagine all that talent in one place at one
time.
Incredible. Yeah.
It's incredible.
If every time I think of Kent Benson, especially after the incident last night, just if you get the chance to YouTube Kent Benson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
With that,
do you remember when Benson did to him what happened last night with Dylan Brooks?
Yeah,
and what Kareem's response was? He was not taking that. He wasn't going to complain. He wasn't going to complain to reporters.
No longer a pacifist.
You don't do that to Kareem.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
That's very funny. Mm. All right, what do you got?
Sports stuff.
Sports related?
Yes. There's some Bulls things. We are going to talk to former Chiefs wide receiver and current radio analyst Danan Hughes. Joe Ostrowski is going to join us at 11:25. Matt Bowen is down at the Senior Bowl. Kevin Fishbane is
also down at the Senior Bowl.
We've got a lot of correspondents down there. Everybody's following the Bears. And there's some other subjects we're going to get to as well. And it's Friday, so there could be all sorts of bad news dumps that occur. You never know. It's Friday.
Have a great show.
All right, guys.